الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters، الله سبحانه وتعالى ordered children to be dutiful to their parents، and Allah سبحانه وتعالى gave parents great honor، and Allah سبحانه وتعالى especially honored and mentioned the mothers and all the difficulty that they go through with childbearing. So the fact that children must honor parents is beyond question. But what is forgotten is that this honor didn't come by itself. Even though, as far as the child is concerned, it is not in Islam, the honor that a child must give to the parents is not conditional upon the parent being a good parent or a bad parent. So you honor your mother or you honor your father because they are your mother and father. Whether she is a good mother or whether he is a good father is not a part of the condition. However, the fact remains that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give this honor unconditionally. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this position of honor because of the responsibilities of tarbiyah, which are on the parents. And in today's world, like I mentioned yesterday, parents seem to think that it is their job to produce the child and it is somebody else's job to bring up that child. That is not the case. Parents leave the upbringing of the children to servants, to schools, to teachers, to anyone other than themselves. And then they are very surprised at the result. So the responsibility for tarbiyah is on the parents. The first part of tarbiyah is for the parent to make himself and herself somebody who the child sees as a role model in his or her life. Because the child will take from you only when the child considers you to be worthy of taking from. He won't learn from you if he has actually no respect for you, in the sense of he doesn't look up to you as somebody with more knowledge and more ability and so on. So yeah, you're there, older. So the child will take only when you are inspirational yourself. Now, to complicate matters, children don't normally tell you that. The child won't come and tell you, "I'm sorry, I don't think you are very inspirational." He won't say that. But if you have any sensitivity at all, then you can see that in their behavior very clearly. Exactly how much they honor you, exactly how much they look up to you, you can see that clearly in their behavior. I do this whenever I run parenting workshops, or even for teachers, when I run teachers workshops. There's a question I always ask. I ask the audience, whoever they are, I say to them, think of a role model. Who is your role model? Think of your role model. And I tell them, don't say Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because first of all, that is a lie, because if that was the case, then you wouldn't be like you are. And secondly, think of a real life role model, somebody you know or knew. So don't give me Nelson Mandela or something. So they think of the role model. Then I ask them, for how many of you is that role model a parent or a teacher? And seriously, I have asked this question. I have taught this course across the world, multiple countries, multiple nationalities. And this is a new, it's a regular course. It's not an Islamic course as such. I also teach it from Islamic perspective, Raising a Muslim Child. There's my book also called Raising a Muslim Child. But the course I teach is a general course for parenting. So I've taught this course across the world, multiple nationalities, multiple countries. And whenever I ask this question, for how many of you is your role model one of your parents? I have never had, and I've actually counted, I've never had more than 10% of the audience who put up their hand. Never. And 10% also is like pushing it. Most of the time it is less than 10%. What does it mean? It means that for 90% of the population, the role model is not a parent. The role model is not a parent. And also, unfortunately, same situation with teachers. Role model is not a teacher. So for 90% of the population, the role model is not the person who has the maximum face time with the child. Who has the maximum face time? Parents and teachers. Until they go to school, 24 hours is parents. As long as the child is awake, there's a parent. Either the mother or the father, somebody is there looking after the child. And then when the child starts going to school, it gets divided. But on an average, teachers have about 8 hours of face time with the child and parents have the rest. Yet, for 90% of people, the role model is not a parent. Now you might say a bunch of ungrateful, you know, so-and-sos or whatnot. That's not the issue. The issue is, I'm not, when I ask this question, believe me, I'm not talking to children. I'm talking to adults. I don't run a parenting class for children. I run a parenting class for parents. And they are the ones who put up their hand when I say, who is a role model? Is it a parent? And they are the one, 90% of them, role model is not a parent. So my next question to them is, what do you think your children will say if they are sitting here? And if I ask them the same question, will they put up their hand and will they be thinking of you? It's a very tragic situation. And the big, big, big reason for that is that parents, by and large, illa mashallah, I know there are exceptions, but by and large, parents make absolutely no effort at self-development. And that's why I ask another question usually. I say, I ask people, how many kids do you have? So they put up their hand. How many kids do you have? Two. How many do you have? One. Do you have three? Four. Then I ask them, do you have kids or children? Because kids are little goats. The young of goats and sheep are called kids in English. So I said, are you bringing up a little goat or are you bringing up a child? Big difference. Big difference. But the problem is that most people bring up their children as if they are bringing up little goats. Feed it, keep it warm, keep it clean. Job is over. So give it good clothes. When it grows older, give it some gadgets, toys, food. Bas, khalas. Then shunt off to school. From the school to this activity, that activity, playing tennis, playing football, playing swimming, this, that, finished. And people think that as long as they throw enough money, job is over. And then they are very surprised when they find some monster who suddenly came out of the house and says, where did this come from? This is yours. Came out of your belly. And that is because parents make no effort at developing themselves. And because they don't develop themselves, they become redundant, they become outdated. Children, as I told you today, have a huge canvas of people that they can compare against. And believe me, you do not stand out. The only way in which you stand out is because you have the purse strings and you shell out the money. That's why they treat you with some level of respect as long as they can get money out of you. After that, even that is gone. And we are seeing it in our society all over. Key reason, key lesson therefore, reminder is, ask yourself, what are you doing to develop yourself? I'm asking the parents, in the last 3 months, what books did you read? In the last 3 months, what courses did you attend? What lectures did you attend? Between your child and you, who knows to read the Quran better? How many homes do we know among our family, among our own children, who will bring one Maulisa from outside to teach the children to read Quran, Nazira. No meaning, no nothing. Just Nazira reading Quran. We get the Imam of the Masjid or somebody to come and teach the child. But then if you have a recitation between the father and the child, the child knows to read better than the father. Isn't it a matter of great shame? Should you not be ashamed that your child can read better than you? Read. I'm not even talking about understanding and meaning, nothing. Just read. His tajweed is better than you, he can read better than you. Why? Today, alhamdulillah, there is an awareness to some extent about Islam. So children, little children are memorizing the Quran. How many parents are there whose children know far more Quran than they know? Is it not a matter of shame? Should you not be ashamed that you know less Quran than your own child? Then you want the child to respect you for what? For laziness? You want to respect you, your child, you want him to respect you because you are ignorant, because you are lazy? What? Respect for what? Seriously, these are some serious, hard questions that we need to stand in the, look in the mirror and ask ourselves. And all it takes is effort. All it takes is when the imam comes to teach your child, you also come and sit there and you also learn. That has two benefits. One is you learn. Secondly, the child also takes it more seriously, because many, many times we find here, at least in our culture, that imam is treated like some servant. How many times does the imam come to the class? And the parents say, "Nahi, oh, aaj unko sir mein darad hai, baba thak gaye, so gaye. He's got a headache, he's sleeping, he cannot read today." They do not even have the courtesy of phoning the imam and saying, "Please don't come today, he's not studying." They don't even, he will come. After that, he is sent away like a beggar or something, and the poor man, he is a poor man, and seriously, they have got a big problem with the imams. They don't live their part. But anyway, because they are poor, they need that salary, they need that fees. He came to teach you. If you don't want to learn, what, it's not his job. He goes away. So you teach and we know that they don't do the same thing when they have your English tuition teacher or physics tuition teacher. As long as the child is breathing, he will be brought by the scruff of his neck and made to sit there and study, but not with the Quran. So if the parent also sits and learns, then there is seriousness in the child. Oh, my father is also here, mother is also here. We don't do that. And that's only one aspect. My father, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him and fill his qabr with noor. Both my father and mother, they were great aficionados of Iqbal's poetry. So Iqbaliyat ke badi shauk bhi tha, ilm bhi tha. So they would sit, make us all sit with them, and they would recite poetry for us. And then we would analyze that poetry. I say, iske maane kya hai? What did Iqbal say when he said this? What was the share? What was the meaning? My father would give me books, and he would say, read the book. Then my father would normally read two or three books at a time. Simultaneously, I also do that. I usually have two or three books at a time. So he would give me a book. Then after I read the book, he would say, "So, what did you get from the book?" So initially, I would tell him the author is saying this. He said, "What the author is saying, I know, because I read the book before I gave it to you. What is your take from the book? What is your take from the book?" If I wrote, those days we used to write by hand because, you know, no computers and tablets, and there was no spell check, and there was no cut and paste, and so we learned to write. Then we learned our spellings. If I wrote something, my father would check, and I still remember, I always got the word address wrong for some funny reason. A-D-D-R-E-S-S, I would write A-D-R-E-S. And repeatedly, I don't know why that particular mistake I always made, but I made. Every single time my father would catch, I would get very irritated. Why does he? But his point was, why do you make the mistake? And you know it is wrong. So he would check what I wrote. And he would correct it. I'm saying these are the issues of parenting. Where is the hands-on for parents? And the reality is, most parents, if you tell them correct a letter today, they don't know how to correct because they don't know English themselves. How are they going to correct the child? I get some emails and so on from people. La hawla quwwata illa billah. It's a struggle to get through the email. What does he mean actually? I have to interpret the email. People who went to English medium schools, I don't know what they teach in the schools. I don't know what they learn. Absolutely horrible. But the point I'm making is that parents, as parents, we have to make the effort to improve ourselves to update ourselves, to become inspirational for the children. If you want children to respect you, become worthy of respect. And that comes from knowledge, that comes from learning. If you run the leadership course, LEC, then always, I mean, alhamdulillah, the course always gets, we get more participants than we want, but always there are some people. No, it is expensive. Believe me, ignorance is far more expensive. Ignorance is far more expensive. And I teach the course free. Now what do you want me to do? Do you want me to pay for you? बुजुर्ग बोले वैसा जनो तुम पालो मई क्या पूछे कहते सीरियसली आई मीन दिस इज एब्सोल्यूट नॉनसेंस है आई एम टीचिंग द थिंग फ्री नाउ व्हाट यू व्हाट वांट यू वांट मी टू पैसे भाई दूं मैं तुम्हारे को सिर पे उठा के ले जाके वहां बिठाऊं आई मीन सम लेवल ऑफ इंटरेस्ट इन योर सेल्फ यू मस्ट हैव एंड द सेम पीपल विल स्पेंड अ फॉर्च्यून ऑन एब्सोल्यूट नॉनसेंस Complete nonsense. We know what, we know where all the money goes. I remind myself and you, let us wake up before it is too late. Let us wake up before our children become real sources of problems for us. And then you will have to sit and cry because nothing else can be done. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the tawfiq to do what it takes to ensure that you bring up children will be a credit to you, because at the end of the day, it's whatever happens is for you, not for me. Whatever happens is for you. I was thinking to myself, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give me my own children. So what I do have is hundreds, maybe thousands of students. So at least one thing I can be sure of is that when I'm dead, there'll be somebody somewhere praying tahajjud and making dua for me. This much I can, inshallah, be sure. If I had my own children, even if I had 18 of them, I wouldn't be able to say that surely, you know, one of those 18 is making dua, Allah alam. Mugara ye number, you know, hitte alhamdulillah ka fazal, that somebody will make dua. So they are all doing that, and somebody asked me the other day, they said, please make dua that we should have children. I said, I don't make this dua, you make your own dua. So because I said to them, I said, see, the blessing of Allah on me. All of these, and they were all bunch of them after the LEC, poor young boys. So I said, Alhamdulillah, all of them will make dua for me. And I did not change the nappies of even one of them. So I said, I got all this for free. So just for teaching. So Alhamdulillah, I said, seriously, please take your life seriously. Improve yourself, work on it, spend some money, spend some time, spend some energy. Unless you upgrade yourself, unless you upgrade your knowledge, unless you improve yourself, you will not be inspirational. If you are not inspirational, children will not listen to you, no matter what you do. Force is the worst possible thing. Absolutely the worst possible thing. Force doesn't help anything at all. It actually makes matters worse. So instead of that, become inspirational. Make sure that you are somebody the child looks up to, runs behind you, and you know, for you are the role model for the child, inshallah. We ask Allah to make this possible. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.